Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Diti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prashatade Shatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Pancha Kalpatru Vyashtra, Kripa Sindhu Vyayasha, Haritana, Hare Vyo, Vishnare Vyo, Namo Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So welcome to our Sunday program. These programs are going on in about 500 centers around the world every Sunday. And it's wonderful to see so many of you coming here in this London temple. Today we will speak about principles of success from the Bhagavad Gita. I believe that Bhagavad Gita is the best success book. If you go to the Waterstones or any bookstore in London or anywhere, there is so many books on success. If you go, there is a section called Mind, Body and Spirit, and a section on leadership management, applied psychology. Many books that teach you how to be happy. But Bhagavad Gita has some unique qualities and principles that make it different from other books. It's a unique success book. I call it the ultimate success manual. Bhagavad Gita teaches us to be successful beyond this lifetime. So I have developed a seminar called Gita for Your Success, and maybe in the future, maybe several months, I will be able to give it here too. We will see how it goes. If devotees are interested, we can have that seminar here too. But I will give you an overview of these six principles that I have identified as extremely important for the development of every individual and also of the society. Is there any instance that you can reach and turn off? Can you please turn off this? So I will not be able to speak.
You want some water?
Mm-hmm. You want some water?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's for the throat.
No, thank you. Thank you. No, I don't think this. So, these six principles, first principle is ask excellent questions. Second is use positive language. Third is release your mind's potential. Fourth is grow giver's heart. Grow a heart of a giver. Fifth is become a trusted authority. And sixth is start spiritual revolution. So these principles, we can say the first three are more like a private victory, and second three are like a public victory. They will help you in both helping yourself improve and making a contribution to the society. So spiritual life starts with inquiry, adhato, brahma, jivyasa. The importance of questions is described in the scriptures very much. And we can see in the Bhagavad Gita and in other books how different candidates and disciples ask intelligent questions. They ask actually excellent questions. Srila Prabhupada taught us to ask excellent questions. So what are some of the examples of excellent questions? Our teacher Srila Prabhupada says that the symptom of a civilized human being is that he asks, what is the purpose of life? Why do I have to die? Why do I have to suffer? Who am I? Where am I going? These are very basic questions that very few people ask, actually. And you have been among people who have asked yourself these questions. And therefore, you are putting yourself in a very, very favorable position to make spiritual advancement and to utilize the human form in the best possible way. So people are asking different questions every day. The process of thinking is consisted of questions and answers. You have like internal dialogue, talk to yourself, and you come to conclusions. Then you make decisions, you take action, and you get results. So questions actually that we ask ourselves and others influence our results. If you want to improve your thinking, then I suggest you improve your questions, the questions that you ask. So many people are asking, why are others not perfect? Others, maybe politicians or family members or neighbors, relatives, friends, colleagues, anyone else than us. So this question is based on a premise that if other people become perfect, I will become happy. However, we see that people who think like that, they are not very effective and they are not very happy. They want others to change. But the only part of the universe that we can change is ourselves. We can only try to inspire others to change. So the question why others are not perfect is a waste of time. Better question is what? How can I improve? Sometimes people say, why am I not perfect yet? That's also okay. You can ask a simple question, how can I improve? If every day you ask yourself, how can I improve in this area, in this relationship, in that relationship, in this endeavor, in that job, then you will get ideas. If you ask right questions, you will get good ideas. One man was in the Second World War, he was arrested by the Nazis and put into concentration camp. And he started asking himself, how can I, what?
Escape.
How can I escape? It's a very intelligent question if you're in a prison. Other prisoners, they were asking, how could this happen to me? I'm such a nice guy. How can God allow such injustice? Why these Nazis are so cruel? These were the questions that other prisoners asked themselves. But this man was asking very simple, very relevant, adequate question, how can I escape? He tried to talk with other prisoners and inspire them to make a plan how to escape. But they said, you are only torturing your mind, it will not work, it's impossible. He didn't believe it. He didn't believe it's impossible. He continued asking that question. And one day, he got an idea. He saw a truck full of corpses. You know that in the Second World War, they would kill people in gas chambers and put them on trucks and unload them somewhere else. So there was a bunch of corpses on truck ready to be driven away somewhere else. So he got an idea while guards were not looking. It was a twilight, and he quickly took off his clothes, got himself naked, and climbed on a truck and waited. Now, after some time, the driver came and drove the truck out of the premises of the concentration camp. So it was a little bit spooky to lie with all these corpses. And I look around and then you see, he's dead, there's all dead people. To be very closely in touch with dead people. But he was thinking, maybe it's worth it, let me see what happens. Driver didn't notice anything. He didn't know that one of the corpses will run away. so he drove his truck outside, and he did what he normally does, unloaded. And it was uncomfortable to fall together with corpses. They fall on you, you fall on them, you are surrounded by corpses. But he was quiet. And after some time, the driver, he actually left. And our hero was actually free. And he ran naked 20 kilometers to freedom. So this question saved his life. If you can see, if you have a right question, how much this can change the quality of your life. Questions, they release creativity. Einstein said, if I would have a problem to solve that my life would depend on, if I would have 1 hour, I would use 55 minutes to find the right questions and I would solve it in 5 minutes. So you know who was Einstein? He was a genius. So he values questions so much, then we should maybe think about it, to use questions to improve our lives. You can learn so many wonderful questions from the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is asking, what is best for me? Arjuna is asking Krishna to dispel his doubts. He's asking, what is Brahman? What is the soul? What is the body? What is the universe? So he's asking many interesting questions. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the big book also, there are so many wonderful questions. Actually, the whole Bhagavatam is based on 6 questions that sages of Nimisharanya asked Sutta Goswami. So, if we don't have an arsenal of questions, we can learn them from the Bhagavad Gita and from other books and use them every day. If you're in any situation, try to ask yourself intelligent questions. Why? Because intelligent questions, they bring intelligent answers. They bring better answers. If something irritating happens to you, usually how do we react and what questions arise in our mind? If something irritates you, what do you think? What questions arise?
Why it happened?
Why it happened, or why is this guy crazy?
Why is it me only?
What?
Why is it me only?
Why me?
Why is it me only? Why not someone else?
Oh, why me? That's a great question. I love that one. I'm so nice. I mean, why bad things happen to such nice guy like me? You don't deserve it. It's a universal injustice. So, why me is one of the worst questions that you can ask. What's his name? I think it's Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah.
American president?
Yeah.
Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah.
He said, do what you can with what you have right where you are. And I added to this right now. And before that, I added, don't complain, don't blame, do what you can with what you have right where you are right now. This protects you from so much stupidity and anxiety. Just Just do what you can with what you have right where you are. If you end up in prison, there is a solution. Have you seen the Escape from Alcatraz?
Yes.
With a spoon, he dug a hole and he ran away. With a spoon. So you can learn how to run out of the prison if you watch movies. So first of all, don't get into prison. So this man asked, how can I escape? Very intelligent question. So obvious, but nobody sees it. So one of the missions of my life is to show you what is obvious, but you don't see. So how can I do this? Because I have so many questions, and I can share them with you also, you can use them. Questions are very powerful, very powerful. I have two questions that eliminate all excuses. People have so many excuses. Why are you not more happy? Why are you not more productive? And they give their 108 excuses. All Vedic or moral. But these two questions will save you, will protect you from excuses which are ruining your life. First question. If not you, who? If not you, who?
Well, I mean,
I'm humble. What can I do? I'm just a simple person, and you know, why is this spotlight on me? But maybe God wants you to represent Him. Why me? I mean, we want you to take responsibility. Oh, why me? Well, I can do it, but I have no skills, I have no education. No, it is related to the paradigm called if only. If only I would have a diploma, I could teach. Well, I'm the corpus delicti. I have no diploma, and I still teach. If only my wife would be nicer, I would be happy. Is that true? If only my husband would be nicer or bring more money, I would be happy. If only this, if only that. But if you remember what we just mentioned from the American president, which I combined with my additions, is do what you can with what you have right where you are. You start anywhere and go everywhere. You don't lament. If only this, if only that. You don't wait. You create circumstances with the help of God. That's the difference between Bhagavad Gita and other success books. They say only you create circumstances. And we say with the help of Krishna. Because we can't do anything without His help. He's the ability man, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So if you want many, many questions that will change your life, contact me on email or grab me by the neck, whatever. But I've given to you, I have both from Shastra and from professional books, hundreds of questions that can help you completely change your life. Second principle is use positive language. Now, there's a saying that kind word opens an iron door. Kind word opens an iron door. In the Bhagavad Gita 17:15, Krishna is explaining the austerity of speech, speaking words that are truthful, beneficial, pleasing, not agitating to others, always reciting Vedic literature. It's considered to be communication skills. So, now this positive language starts here. We have this negative internal dialogue. You can't do it. You're bad. Or they're bad. They can do it. So we can change the tape. We can question that. If the mind starts to say things that are very negative, you say, is that really true? Let me see if I can do something. No, it's hopeless. We all have this experience of the negative internal tape. So this is the way to sabotage ourselves. Yeah. To have this negative language. First starting in our head, then with others. Then looking at other people's faults, criticizing, being hopeless, being discouraged, depressed, pessimistic. These things will not help us. Especially one who is aware that he has gotten mercy of God, instead of being negative, he can be very grateful. One of the best ways to be positive is to be grateful for everything that we have. To thank God and Krishna every single day for everything we have, even physical things like air. So gratitude, happiness gladly enters a grateful heart. Happiness does not enter an ungrateful heart. So you want to speak in such a way to uplift people, to inspire people, to highlight their strengths, to highlight their talents, to help them succeed, to make a nice plan of action. So you use your power of speech to contribute to people's lives, to show that you care, to express your love and affection for people. This is how the voice and the language should be used. And there is this saying, parlare dolcemente, speak sweetly. So devotees speak very sweetly. Sometimes they speak the truth, which is not easy to hear. But as sweet as possible, we should try to present the truth. The third principle is release mind's potential. Release your mind's potential. We have three functions of the mind, thinking, feeling, and willing. And all these three, if we spiritualize them, then we will have the best use of the mind. So if you think of Krishna, feel for Krishna, and desire for Krishna. Sometimes people come to me and say, I want this. And I say, okay, but let's first examine, will this desire be good for you? What will you get if you want this, and if you get it? And then we examine the quality of that desire. Srila Prabhupada is teaching us to not to stop desiring, but to change the quality of our desires. This is very important. Whether what you want will really bring you long-term happiness. This is an important question. Sometimes people say, well, what can I do? I just have these desires. But the fact is that you can choose what you desire. You can choose, and you can choose wisely. You say, I can't do that. I'm just a victim of my desires. I don't know where they come from. Huh? But you can take control of your mind. If you want to release the mind's potential, you have to train the mind. Take control of your mind. You are not the mind. You can observe your thoughts, you can observe your feelings, you can observe your desire, and you can see that you are detached. Your consciousness, which can observe these things and perceive them. So you don't have to be a victim of your mind anymore. But it's very hard to control the mind. It's harder than to stop the wind with your hands. So how can to control the mind? By focusing it on Krishna, especially on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The mind becomes trained, the mind becomes calm, the mind becomes pure, and you can use the mind for good purposes. You can think more effectively. You can think of Krishna and his pastimes. You can think of welfare of others, how to help people, how to do something good, how to contribute to people's lives. So, you can use your mind, it's a powerful instrument, you can use your mind in much more effective way than you do right now. you can increase your intelligence. You can connect to your spiritual intelligence. You can connect to the super soul. In our heart, there is a super soul, expansion of God. From Him come knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness, inspiration, creative impetus, and we can connect with super soul, and He will give us unlimited intelligence. So intelligence will control the mind. Intelligence is higher than the mind. But we have been given these gifts by God. We don't use them. We don't use them enough. We are not trained. So like in some kind of creative workshops, when you do brainstorming, you actually get many more ideas than you would do if you would just sit and stare at your notebook. But when you have brainstorming, you have many people giving ideas, or you can do it yourself, except get in a creative mood. And then you get so many ideas how to proceed with your goals and how to overcome your obstacles. You use your mind, use your brain. Stanford University has done some research, and they said that we are using 2% of the capacity of the brain. This is such a waste. 98% is not used. Now I forgot to say one thing in relation to questions, and this is related also to how we use the mind, is that if you start everything with questions, do Q-storming. So whenever you have a project or whatever problem or goal, then you start with questions. Say, okay, what are the most important questions to ask in this situation? Which are the questions that will help us succeed? And when you come up with better questions, you will get better answers. This is how you can practically use. Q-storming means you look for the best questions. So, now the fourth principle is grow giver's heart. Work on your heart in such a way that it becomes pure and it becomes selfless. Start giving. Some people have a hard time giving even what they don't need. Like you have full, wardrobe or clothes, and you're thinking, maybe I'll wear it when I lose weight. Because I can't fit in anymore. And this, I used to be skinny, now I got a little weight because I become a housewife and I have to make sure no food is thrown away. So, and then maybe my daughter will wear it. So your daughter grows, and she looks at what you offer, and she said, this is old-fashioned. So it's wasted. And you keep it, and some people go naked, without clothes, because you don't share what you don't need. So at least give what you don't need. What to speak of going to Srimad Bhagavatam very boldly and reading that Krishna says, I'm most pleased when you give what is most dear to you. And in the Purport, Prabhupada says, not Prabhupada, Kridananda Maharaj, who did that commentary, they said that you offer your wife and children. And some people say, well, it's not hard for me to do that. Because I'm overwhelmed by their demands or whatever. Or I don't want to be unfair. You can say, see, also husband and children, so to be fair. I mean, now children are in a bad position, so parents also. So, to be fair to all family members, but it's equal kind of a relation. And so, you know, you say, you come to Krishna and you give something, donation or whatever you bring, like cucumber, and then you feel good, I have given something to God. And imagine if you would have this incredible mystical vision that God would start to speak to you from the altar and says, you know, but this thing that you are not giving me, can you give me that? This thing that you are hiding. I mean, you have just tons of money there, or whatever, jewels. You know, you got some wonderful jewels. And so give this to me. And you say, Krishna, yeah, oh, please, I mean, maybe later. So you think even Kukumbari are so proud, but Krishna wants everything from you. You know, he doesn't want only these material things. I mean, he wants your life, your everything. And then you will really see what is Krishna consciousness. So, we can start giving what you don't need. Do a cleanup. And then when you look at things, it will be, because sometimes things will be really hard. Yes, how can I give this? I mean, there's memories and things like this. Okay, give it, just give it, practice. And this one, oh my God, oh this one, oh this is so many memories. How can I give this one? You know, but some people will benefit from your clothes or whatever you have, even your whatever, like vases, pictures. So become a giver. You will be more happy if you give. Now, there is one book called The Way of a Go-Giver. In the Western world, we have a go-getter. Go and get something. But go-giver is someone who goes and gives something. And like in this world, one example is really wonderful, that mother finds more pleasure in giving to her child than taking it herself. Like, if she has food, she's very hungry, she will first give to her child, even if she dies of hunger. So this is a very simple example where giving gives you more pleasure than taking. And what to speak, if we understand spiritual principles, and we understand that every giver is the greatest gainer. Every giver is the greatest gainer. Once I gave class in Poland, Sunday class like this, double amount of people, maybe triple. And I was so inspired to speak about giving, and I thought, my goodness, now people will start giving like anything. And in the, not giving to me, but giving to each other or to the universe, to everybody. So one boy came to me, and I thought he was going to ask me for some tips how to give more and things like that. And during the class, I was speaking about how Krishna sometimes tests us to give something we are attached to. And I got at that time an iPod. And I was speaking about iPod in my class and speaking how people are attached to their gadgets. And sometimes some people like them and then they, you know, they should give them or something, but they don't give them, or they give them, but it's grudgingly or whatever. So this boy got an impression they still have this iPod. iPad? iPad?
Yeah, iPod.
iPod. Not iPad. That's, for me, that's way over my ability, how you say, financial capacity. But iPod, but actually I got it, whatever I get it, like, a gift, I don't buy it. So I spoke, and he thought that I still have it. And I was thinking he's going to ask me about giving, and he said, do you still have this iPod? And I said, I'm sorry, I just gave it away 2 days ago to one devotee who impressed me. You know, we had a meeting, and this devotee, very young, he impressed me with his comments, remarks. So I said, you must have iPod. And in Poland, it meant something at that time. But so it was already given. But so it was a funny situation. But we should test this principle. Because everybody thinks, the more I get, the more I will be happy. But actually, the more you give, the more you get, so that you can give even more, so that you can get even more, so that you can give even more, and so on, endlessly. You always give. No giver has been deprived of what he needs. Giving is the best business, believe me. They even teach, become a go-giver. In the business world nowadays, it's crazy. It's completely upside down. It used to be go and get something. Now go and give something. So we have to move on to our next principle. They're all related. How they're related, you will see in the seminar that I might give here. But if not, you can come to New York, Manchester, Nairobi, and so on. It will be all over the world. So the next is become a trusted authority. Then you say, become a trusted authority? Who, me? No, never. I'm humble. You know, I will be in the background. I will never become a trusted authority. Okay, become a trusted servant. Become a trusted something, you know. Trusted friend. But value trust. Because by becoming a trusted authority, people will believe you. They will listen to you. You can add value to their lives. They can take your guidance, your valuable guidance. So you can be much more than you imagine. You have so much capacity. If you don't know how, come to me. We will have 108 sessions and you will be perfect. Coaching sessions, training, push-ups, and all these things. It's like a SEAL. Marines training. I'm joking. It's very soft training. So, what is a trusted authority? It's someone who has your best interest at heart. Like you have the best interest of a child in heart, similarly we should feel for every soul, for every person. We want to have the best interest in heart of the person. People will feel it, they will see it. So you want to contribute to people's lives. You want to be there for them when they need you. You want to help them succeed. You want to enrich their lives with your products and services. And this morning we spoke about this amazing thing that we all fall in love with our products and services, whatever you do. But actually we forget to fall in love with our clients. If you fall in love with your clients, then you will understand much better what they need and how your products and services can benefit them. And you will educate them to use your products and services in such a way that they will get more benefit. Now, you may say, how can I fall in love with conditioned souls? They're all imperfect. This is a bad proposition, Akura. No. If you see them as spirit souls, as divine beings, as part and parcel of God, you can fall in love with them. They are worthy of your attention, of your care. Potentially they are ashtaryavat. Amazing. Every soul is amazing. Yeah. So every one of you can do much more, be much more, have much more than you have at the moment. But sometimes we are scared of success. Most people are scared of failure, but there is people who are scared of success. Who am I to be great? Who am I to be successful? Who am I to achieve? Who are you not to? You're a part of God, divine being. And your playing small doesn't help the world. So you have to play it as much as you can. Now, how can you play big? Okay, you may say, well, I can't play too big because of my karma, or my limitations, whatever. But what you can do is to follow Mother Teresa. She said, not all of us can do big, great things, but all of us can do small things with great love. And then these things are not small anymore, because you are doing them with great love. So start anywhere, start small. But start gaining people's trust and you will be able to serve them much better. Because our life, Hare Krishnas, we want to serve. But in order for people to accept our service, they have to trust us. And we want to gain their trust by showing care and showing competence. That we know what we are talking about. We are talking based on the Shastra. And the sixth principle is start spiritual revolution. Now you may say, well, that's okay, maybe first five I can find myself, but in this last one, no. I will not start a spiritual revolution globally. Well, okay, fair enough. First of all, I will question that later, whether you cannot start spiritual revolution globally. But one thing you can do, you can start spiritual revolution individually, with yourself. If you want to help the world change, start with yourself. Look at the man in the mirror, as Michael Jackson says. You have to change. You guys, huh? We always want to change others. I have met so many people who want to change the world. I have met so few people who want to change themselves. But the paradox is that those who change themselves end up influencing the world and changing so many other people. So the way to change the world is to start with ourselves. Start this spiritual revolution with ourselves. Start increasing our standards, understanding God, chanting His names, associating with devotees, becoming spiritually strong, mentally strong, emotionally strong, becoming a leader, no matter how small. To me, the person who picks up the rubbish from the street is a leader. There is one of the congregation members here. She told me, Akrura, when I see a paper, I pick it up. I don't blame... What is his name? Boris?
Boris Johnson.
I don't blame him. Why he didn't manage cleanliness of London, I take responsibility and I pick it up. It's a small thing, but that's leadership. You show by example. Start with small things. You know, clean your neighborhood. Clean your neighbor. No, love your neighbor, clean yourself. That is a mistake. So, probably most of us would agree that the world revolution is beautiful. Isn't it? Who likes the word revolution? 100. It's such a beautiful world. As soon as I hear it, I get goosebumps. Yeah, I get goosebumps. It's such a wonderful world because it means change and to something better. But, you know, Monday revolutions, they don't go deep enough. I got an invitation. Believe it or not, I got an invitation to join the Indian political party. They say the old party is corrupted, join us. And I said, I wrote back to this man, I said, another political party will not help the world, but God consciousness will, and every political party gets corrupted after some time. No reply. He tried to join me on Facebook. I didn't accept yet. I wrote him and I said, who are you? Are you the guy who wants me to join your party? Like that. He didn't reply yet. Yeah. So the real change will be brought about by God consciousness, not by some political activism or maneuvering, because all become corrupted. If you are not God conscious, you will always become corrupted. So this movement will bring about the revolution. But the funny thing is that we are so imperfect, we are so incapable, we are so attached to material energy, and we are supposed to be saints, and we are supposed to be the guides of people, and we are supposed to take up this revolution that Prabhupada gave us and make the huge change in the world, and we have no idea how we are going to do it. And I have news for you. You don't have to do it. You just have to agree and do your best, Krishna will do it. You just don't sabotage it. Don't sabotage it. This is the first point. Second point is try to do anything. And your capacity will grow. So you can be the representative of Krishna, although, despite the fact that you are still conditioned, weak, imperfect. Krishna and his representatives will make you strong if you take shelter of them, if you listen to their instructions, pray, and all the things that you know you should do, and that you are not doing enough, including myself. So, we can do something wonderful, and just admit to yourself that you want to do something in this life. You want to make some mark, you want, not for some false fame, But because you have potential, you're a spirit soul, you're creative, you have so much, you're a divine being, and you naturally want to serve, you want to contribute. So admit this once to yourself, and don't tell yourself these stupid stories, I'm going to play it small. And I'm going to watch the movies and dream how in next life I'm going to be a hero. Be now. Try to be a hero now, even if it's very small, but do your best. This will make you happy. Don't play it small. Take risks. Be very ambitious to do something for Krishna. Be very bold. He will help you. Remain humble and be happy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Do you have any questions? Because you gave me such an applause, I expect questions. How can we do it? Yes?
Yeah. Well, what you said was very inspiring and resonates very deeply.
Microphone?
Yes.
Sorry. I haven't seen him. Yes. Sorry.
Hi, Rohu. Thank you for your class. I just wanted you to elaborate more on how we can not sabotage Krishna's plan. How we can, like, you know, not get in his way, you know?
By agreeing to cooperate with his plan, with his mission, by trying to help his mission. Because, first of all, if you remain in Maya, that's already sabotaging his plan, because he wants you to represent him. That's the first thing. You get out of Maya. Then, the second thing is do something, positive or constructive for the mission, whatever you can. And that's good to start with. Then you will see how it unfolds. It will grow. If you persist. Okay?
Hi. Oh, everything that you said resonates very deeply, and I identify with.
We can hear you there.
What do you have to do with this?
Just press the button.
I don't know.
Hello? Yeah. Third time. Everything that you said resonates very deeply.
Right?
Do I have to lick it?
Yes.
Okay.
No, please don't lick it.
Click it, don't lick it.
Everything that you said resonates very deeply, mm-hmm. and I can identify with what you say. But surely, underpinning all of those six principles is the principle of being honest with yourself, in the fore and foremost. And then the questions that you ask, you admit those things that you know, and those things that you don't know. That principle, all the other six principles that you outlined, follow naturally. Do you not agree?
You say that something you know, something you don't know.
No, being completely honest with yourself. Maybe you can't be honest with the rest of the world or anybody else, but being honest with yourself.
As a success principle.
Yeah.
Oh, great. That's a great principle.
And does it not underpin all of the six other principles that you outlined?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree to that. But regarding what you mentioned, there is something very interesting about knowing things. There is things that we know. There is things that we think we know, but we actually don't know.
Exactly, yeah.
So there is things that we don't know that we don't know.
Yeah.
And that's a huge area.
Yeah, that's the thing where I'm saying, like, you're not being honest with yourself if you don't admit the things that you don't actually know.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very powerful. This is very, very deep principle.
I mean, in my experience in life, I find that certain groups of people, certain races, they don't actually, they're not honest with themselves. And the consequence of that is that the things which they do in life is half-heartedly, usually they cock things up. And they refuse to admit that they don't know what they don't know. Anyway, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Wonderful. There is three kinds of people. One group says, you should. Another group says, we should. This is hidden, you should. And third group says, I will. So you can choose one of the three where you want to be. Not you, everybody. You should, we should, actually you should, and I will. So if every individual takes responsibility for a positive change, then we can do miracles. And if we unite, then we can do double or triple. Next question. Okay. No? Yes? Microphone back. So thank you very much. Good luck. And
your email?
My email.
Yes,
it's akrura@gmail.com.
Can you repeat, sorry?
Akrura. Akrura. Akrura.
Okay.
@gmail.com. And my blog is called Gita Coaching. My Facebook is called Gita Coaching. My Twitter is called Gita Coaching. And I'm on G+, which is also, it's Akrura on G+. That's with Google Mail. You have G+, it's like Google Facebook. I'm also there. And that's it for now. Maybe it will be more. So please contact me. I will do my best to assist you in your success. Especially if you're a spiritually inclined person, I would love to help you succeed. If you are not, then my hope will be that you will become a spiritually inclined person and make first personal revolution and then help to change the world for better. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All the best.
Hare Krishna. Please let us express our gratitude and appreciation of Akura Prabhu for giving very inspiring, enlightening class, very beneficial for all of us, chanting very loudly.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna!
So,
yes,
of course. So, Akura Prabhu will also stay for questions and answers.
Can we do it?
So this will start sometime around 6 upstairs in the seminar room, which is 2 floors up. If you're not sure where to go, then you can just ask any of the devotees here. Follow there. I think there were some signs for the seminar room upstairs. So thank you, Akura Prabhu. Please come back again. Continue to inspire us. And those of you who would like to get in touch, please do contact Akura Prabhu. Just a couple of questions, since the talk was about questions. So my first question is there anyone here for the first time? The first time?
One, two.
Here for the first time? What's your name?
Yes, this gentleman in glasses.
Someone, again? Yeah, in the back. What's your name?
Satyajit.
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 Satyajit. Okay, Satyajit. And where are you from, Satyajit?
From Stratford.
From Stratford. That was not the answer I was thinking. If you're from Stratford, I'm from Stratford, mate. Satyajit, how did you find out about the temple today?
Exactly.
Okay. So you have a friend who came with you?
Yes, my wife. She's there.
Where is your wife? Oh, she's the other person that raised her hand for the first time. Okay, very nice to have you. Thank you so much for coming. And someone else raised her. Yeah, you had a nice time?
Yeah,
wonderful. Well, what's your name?
Neha.
Neha and Satyajit. Okay, very nice to have you with us. And at the back, you're both here for the first time. What are your names?
Delphine.
Okay, Delphine and?
Selena.
And where are you from?
From France.
Oh, bonjour, ça va?
Parlez gentiment.
We didn't get it. You might want to say it again. How did you find out about the temple today?
On the street.
On the street?
I work nearby. So.
You work nearby. Okay, and someone gave you a book or someone was singing or something?
Yeah.
All that, yeah? Okay, very nice. Thank you so much for coming today. I hope you had a nice time. Anyone else here for the first time? Not afraid to raise their hand? So we'd like to welcome our guests who are here for the very first time. And we know in London there are so many things you could be doing on a Sunday other than coming to the temple, especially in Soho. So we'd like to express our appreciation of you for coming so we can all welcome and thank them for coming again by chanting very loudly three Hari Bols.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
And there's one young lady outside. Her name is Hetal. You can step in a little bit. she can, if there's any space. So she's greeting guests today, welcoming everyone. So those of you who are here for the first time, she will be very happy to speak with you. And she has a little gift to give to all the persons who have come for the first time today. So also, if you'd like to give her any details, we can keep you updated and informed of the different activities that happen here in the temple. We have special guests, so we run seminars, courses, festivals, different things like that. So please, anyone who would like to be kept in touch with things in the temple, please speak to Hannah. All right, thank you very much. So now we're going to serve the feast, the moment many of you have been waiting for. Real success formula, good diet. So we'll be serving the feast here in the temple room and also downstairs in the restaurant. Someone's phone is ringing. Whose phone is in the bag at the back? During the month of December, we had a little lottery with telephones. We had everyone turn their phones on, and if your phone rang during the class, you got to sponsor a Bhagavad Gita.
Cool.
It was amazing how that month no one's phone rang. So, we're going to serve the feast here in the temple and also downstairs in the restaurant. Those of you who will take prasad in the restaurant, we ask you to please sit nicely in rows so that we can serve you. Those of you who are here for the first time, gentlemen, sit over against this wall here, and ladies can sit here. We'll have some devotees who can sit with you if you have any questions. And like that. So we just need a few volunteers who are here normally to help serve prasad, okay, and to help clean up afterwards. Okay, normal crew, and like that. So those of you who will take in the restaurant, we ask you after we finish the prasad prayers to please exit through the door at the back on this side of the room, nearest to Srila Prabhupada. Please, if you can, avoid exiting through the door directly in front of me, because we'll be bringing the prasad, the feast, in that way. So we just need everyone to give us a little bit of time to do that. Okay, we'd like to thank all of you very much for coming. Welcome to the new year, 2013. Every Sunday we have these nice programs, so everyone is invited to come back, and we have full schedule all throughout the week. Also, if you have any questions, you can ask myself or some of the other Tantra devotees, or Ketsal Mataji will be happy to assist you. Okay, so now we'll say the prasad prayer. Would you like to lead it?
Sariya vidyachal.
Sariya vidyachal.
Chadindriyata heka.
Chadindriyata heka.
Jivate vishasagare.
Jivate vishasagare.
Aramadi jivati.
Aramadi jivati.
Lobamaya surmati.
Lobamaya surmati.
Takajata katana samsare.
Takajata katana samsare.
Krishna bharadaya maya.
Krishna bharadaya maya. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Bhagavad Prasadam Ki
Jai,
Assembled Devotees Ki
Jai,
Kri Prabhupada Ki
Jai. Hare Krishna. So, anyone can go where they need to go to take prasad. Thank you very much. Kuro Prabhu Ki
Jai.